We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Carolina Insider. From Learfield.
After quite the hiatus, we are back. Adam's been in a foreign country since we last joined you. What's it like over there, world traveler?
There's no place like Chapel Hill, James.
Man, we've got a lot to talk about, Adam. Even here in late May.
Yeah, you've got quite the list of notes. The set list for this pod is impressive.
What's up? What's going on?
Well, it's the quote unquote slow time, which means there's a lot going on, and we craftily slated the pod schedule to hit right in the news cycle so that we could talk about what the people want to talk about.
So, I mean, the biggest piece of news for the Tar Heels is that Tony Bradley has elected to keep his name in the NBA draft and hire an agent, and so he will not be returning to the Tar Heels. You know, there's a lot of things, I think, that go into this. I don't think this came as a surprise to the Tar Heel coaching staff. Once they knew he was in, once he had declared. Now, I don't know if with 3 weeks left in the regular season, they may have been surprised if ultimately this was the news. But I think once he declared and once you kind of saw the way things were progressing and the fact that he went to the combine but didn't play, I think you could kind of see the way that this was trending. You know, it's not for me or for you or for anybody to say whether or not Tony Bradley is right or wrong. It's his decision. I just hope two things. I hope, number one, this is what Tony Bradley wanted to do. Like, I hope this is what he wanted to do and was not in any way influenced or pressured into doing this or felt like he had to do it. And number two, I hope he has success because now he has made that choice and now the path is very defined because you have chosen the path you're going on. And so he needs to, hopefully for his sake, have success on that path.
Yeah, I hope those same things, but the only other hope I would add, and this is just kind of like a basic hope, I really hope he gets picked in the first round.
Yeah.
Because I know you can get picked in the second round and then work your way up. And Danny Green did it. Look how great things have turned out for him. There's far more other guys than there are Danny Green.
Sure.
Danny Green is one example. It's much tougher to do that. Now, I think Tony Bradley is totally capable of being an NBA basketball player.
Yep.
I think he's that good. Do I think he might have been even better if he had played one more year at Carolina? Yeah, probably. But that's not what he wants to do, so he doesn't care what I think. I didn't ask him, like, hey, Tony, what should the name of the book be?
Right.
Like, because I don't care what he thinks. He doesn't care what I think. But I really do hope he can work his way via workout or interview or whatever it takes to get into that first round, especially because at the end of that first round where I think he would be, you're probably going to a good team. Mm-hmm. That would be good because it's just – it's tough to make it out of the second round. It's hard to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can – there's a very clear argument in which you could say – well, hey, Tony Bradley, why didn't you do this, which would be come back? You would think that he would be an extreme focus of what Carolina would try to do offensively in particular. You would assume he would play 30 minutes or so a game and, in theory, get better as a basketball player. But it's also, I mean, if he feels like he's has that opportunity, I mean, that window is so small, you know? And who's to say he doesn't get hurt? I mean, this is not a unique argument to Tony Bradley. You could have this with any guy who's trying to make this decision. So he felt like it was time. Now, from the Carolina perspective, I think it really makes next year's team a lot more of a question. Because I think now you have to decide if you're Roy Williams and the Tar Heels, how do you want to play? Do you want to play the way that you always play, which is where you have a big guy down there, you're playing with two big guys most of the time, that you really focus on inside out, or, as I assume and suspect will be the case, you still stay true to those principles, but you understand that that may not be the best way for you to win in this particular year, and so you have to be flexible and adjust what you're doing. Because I've heard Roy Williams say a thousand times on this Tar Heel tour with the Rams Club that we just ended a couple days ago that he doesn't think those freshman big guys, Garrison Brooks, Sterling Manley, and Brandon Huffman, he doesn't think those guys are ready to step in on day one and be somebody who is going to be a college basketball starter. Now, all those guys are going to be good players for Carolina. They're all going to play a role, but they're probably not going to be ready the moment they step on campus. So now the question is, how does Carolina adjust? And I don't know that answer.
I'm not sure Roy Williams knows right now.
No, probably not. I mean, because here's what you know about the team. You know you have Joel Berry. You know you have Theo Pinson. You know you have Jaleek Felton, who's a very highly talented freshman. You know you have Kenny Williams, and you know you have Luke May. And so am I forgetting anybody? And so, I mean, I think those are the known qualities, and I'm throwing Felton in there because he is just a high-talent guy. I mean, those are the known qualities or known quantities that you have at this moment. But I also don't think Luke May is a center in the traditional sense of the word.
This whole process has reminded me of several dumb things. Dumb thing number one. Anybody who says, oh, well, I guess Tony Bradley's not as big a Tar Heel as I thought he was.
Yeah, get out of here with that.
I understand that the 2018 Tar Heels would be better with Tony Bradley on the team. And I want the 2018 Tar Heels to be better. And I personally would prefer that Tony Bradley come back to Carolina.
Sure.
But the 2017 Tar Heels, with Tony Bradley on the team, won the national championship. So he can do whatever the crap he wants. He can do literally anything in the world, and I don't care, that's legal. Because Carolina won the national championship with him on the team. What level of Tar Heel he is has nothing to do with what he wants to do with his professional future. He came here in the first place.
Well, and I think that's important to remember, because he committed at a time where things weren't going real hot on the recruiting trail for the Tar Heels.
Well, and that kind of goes back to what you just said. Like, at last year at this time, none of us knew Tony Bradley was that good. It wasn't until he got here and started playing pickup and all the current guys started going, whoa, he's pretty good, that we started thinking, oh, he's really good. we don't know what's going to happen with those three guys you named.
Right.
They may have had a great spring and summer and come here and blossom. Or they may come here and not be that good. But we don't know until they get here. So I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, Tony Bradley, you ruined 2018 for me, and you cannot come back to the Smith Center. I don't care what you do, because Carolina doesn't win the 2017 national title without Tony Bradley. He had, what, 7 rebounds in the championship game, 5 points. I think he had maybe like 6 rebounds against Oregon, 2 points. Well, Carolina won that game by 1 point.
Yep.
You want to give those 2 points away?
Here's another thing I can't wait to, because I know it's coming, is the, why didn't Roy Williams start Tony Bradley?
Yeah.
If he's good enough to go after one year, then he should have been starting. Because you know it's, because somebody's going to say it. And let's, before you even think about making this argument, think about how dumb it will sound when you make it. I mean, that's dumb. But you know somebody's going to say it.
Yeah.
The Tar Heels won the national championship. Kennedy Meeks, the player who was playing in front of Tony Bradley, you and I have said, and fans have championed, he was one of the most important reasons why Carolina won the title, because of his play during the tournament, and certainly during the year, he was a huge part of what Carolina did.
He had over 1,000 rebounds in his career.
So don't, just when you start thinking about that, and I know pod listeners are too smart to make this argument, but when someone is making this argument to you, just shut them down immediately and talk about how dumb it is.
That reminds me of dumb thing number 2. This goes back to the whole miserable people are going to be miserable, and there's nothing you can do about it, because they've decided they want to be miserable. Here's something that we've heard a lot of the last few years. Whew, I'm going to tell you what, Carolina really needs a one and done. They need a one and done, because the other one and dones will only come if you have a one and done.
Right.
Well, I believe Tony Bradley is now one and done. And now those same people are saying, oh, well, not that kind of one and done.
Right.
Oh, not that kind. I meant the other kind of one and done is what they need. This is the opposite of what they need. Not this kind of one and done. This is the wrong kind. What are you even talking about? You don't make any sense. Just go sit in your cave and be miserable and watch your film of Chris Jenkins making the shot in 2016 and totally ignore that 2017 ever happened.
You know what I also think is, I'm going to take this off of Twitter and assume it to be fact.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we all know that's right.
Will Kimmy tweeted this out.
Well, then it probably is fact.
Former Baseball America Will Kimmy. 9 1 and duns have won an NCAA title since 1990. One from Syracuse, Carmelo Anthony.
Right.
2 from Carolina. 3 from Duke and Kentucky apiece. So please stop talking about how, and I get it. I'm not claiming that Kentucky and Duke and aren't getting a bunch of top 10 dudes. They are. But here's the thing. And Carolina would love to have some of those guys. That's not the argument. Carolina's doing just fine. And you know why they're doing just fine? Because Roy Williams is their head coach. And that's not changing anytime soon.
Yeah. One of the most beloved players in the Roy Williams era around the Smith Center is Marvin Williams.
Yeah.
Did anybody go up to Marvin Williams and go, Marvin Williams, I got to tell you, I know you came back 10 summers in a row to get your degree, and you're the only one who's ever done it, but you're only like 92% Tar Heel because you left, and I'm mad that Carolina wasn't as good in 06 as they would have been if you had stayed.
You know, that actually reminds me of something I was thinking about before we started today, which was what team do I think this team coming up may be like? Now, I think if you look back on it, the 2010 team, which went to the NIT, I think was more talented than the 2016. These two, like, post-title teams. I mean, I think people forget that 10 team. I mean, Ed Davis, Tyler Zeller, they both got hurt, barely played, you know, ACC. The one they barely played any conference games. And I don't think, to me, 2013 is the team that this may remind me of. Where, I mean, the starting five, I think, on opening day in 2013 were Page, Bullock, Tokido,
McAdoo, and Joel James. I think those were the starting five. So, I mean, this team, that was a perimeter-oriented team, and it was a team that won 25 games and got to the second round of the NCAA tournament. And I think that this team, if you just looked at it on paper right now, that would remind me of – that team would remind me of this team. Now, that team also had P.J. Hairston and Reggie Bullock, who were great college players, and Marcus Paige as a freshman who was a great college player. And so – it had some talent, but this one does too.
Yeah, I think Joel Berry and Theo Pinson are great college players.
Joel Berry. You have one of the best.
Well, and there's your difference. That's all the difference you need between 2018 and 2010. 2010 had the opposite of Joel Berry.
Who was that point guard in 2010?
They had the opposite of Joel Berry. 2018's got real Joel Berry.
Yeah.
And as long as Joel Berry stays healthy, which, dear Lord, please let him.
Oh, God.
He is not going to let Carolina be bad. What just happened was Tony Bradley staying in the draft means Carolina went from, like, on the first day of the season, I totally think this team can go to the Final Four. That is a very realistic thing. To, well,
let's see what happens.
I have learned not to doubt that Roy Williams could take this team to the Final Four.
Right. Yeah. I think he's got, I mean, yeah.
That's the difference. That's what happened.
And I think two things. I think sometimes it's kind of fun, and 2006 is the perfect example, when your expectations are a little bit lower, but you're playing with house money. I mean, Carolina's Carolina. Carolina's coming off a national title. Roy Williams is Roy Williams. But I mean, so the expectations will be a little bit lower. And so I think it's going to be fun to, because you know this team's going to get better and be good and win games. I mean, all those things are going to happen. So,
well, one of the most fun things about this year that just finished was we had all seen how far those guys had come.
Yep.
Like, we saw freshman Kennedy Meeks, so we knew how far he had come. Same with Isaiah Hicks. Same with Nate Britt. All those guys. We saw them progress. Well, to get there, you got to go through the first couple of years.
Yeah.
And this may be one of the first couple of years. Who knows what Brandon Huffman becomes, but you got to get through the first part first.
Anytime somebody asked Roy Williams about Brandon Huffman, he said, well, he's going to break a backboard before he's done. And I heard Sean Matos say that too. Apparently, and I have not seen Brandon Huffman play past a couple of clips on the internet. Apparently, all he wants to do is dunk all the time.
Yeah.
I like that.
Me too.
That's fine by me, Brandon Huffman.
He's like the big guy Joel Berry. I think Joel Berry would dunk all the time if he could.
One other thing about next year basketball, and then we can talk about something else. I heard Roy Williams say this a couple times on the Tar Heel Tour, which, I don't know, it surprised me a little bit. He said, and I'm saying things that Roy Williams said in these meetings, so I don't feel bad repeating them because he said it out in front of all these people anyway. He said he thought Jahleek Felton was more gifted than Raymond Felton as a player. Now, he immediately qualified that by saying, now, there's no question that Raymond Felton was all heart, toughest guy. He's like, I don't know if Jahleek is that way because he hasn't been around him enough to know that. But he said just a pure talent level, he said he thought Jahleek Felton was more gifted, which I found interesting because Raymond Felton was pretty good.
Everybody just calm down. The key part of that statement is you don't know the competitiveness level.
Right.
Because Raymond Felton would cut your face off to win the blue-white game.
Yeah, like Joel Berry. Yeah,
We don't know if Jahleek Felton will do that. Maybe he will. And if he will, then you got something.
Yeah.
But if nothing else, you definitely would rather have a guy that talented on your team than not on your team.
Yes. Any other thoughts on Tony Bradley and the effect on the Tar Heels?
Well, here's the other thing that people just need to start taking deep breaths and thinking about. Carolina's going to have a tough schedule next year.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some losses.
Particularly early.
November and December. Yeah. There are going to be some losses.
It's okay.
Carolina could go to Portland and lose all three games. And we don't even know who they're playing.
Yeah.
But there's going to be three good teams.
Yep.
And that's the time of year when you might run into a team like Carolina this year that's got a lot of old guys back, and they're just better than you right then. And you might lose to them. Carolina's got to go play at Tennessee. Carolina barely beat Tennessee at the Smith Center this year.
Yep.
Carolina's got to go play at Stanford. I don't know anything about them, but Jared Haas is a nice guy.
Yeah.
And it's at Stanford. And every time I see them on TV, they talk about how tough it is to play at Maples Pavilion. You're going to have to play probably the best team in the Big Ten, whoever that is, in the ACC Big Ten, because that's how it works. It's going to be a tough schedule. And Carolina's going to have some young guys. So everybody just breathe deep. There's going to be some losses in November and December. And when that happens and you get all frustrated, you can come over to Pod World headquarters and we'll let you in the Smith Center.
Yep.
And you can look up at the banner.
Yep.
And remember that everything's okay.
I wonder who Carolina's going to play in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. I hope it's Michigan.
It's time to play Michigan.
Right. I mean,
why can't Carolina play Michigan?
Stop with Indiana and Michigan State and Illinois.
I don't want to play Michigan State anymore unless it's the championship game because Roy Williams owns Tom Izzo.
Right.
So that would be fine. But in the ACC Big Ten, I want to play Michigan.
I wonder if they'll play, you know, I bet they could play Northwestern because they'll play up the.
Duke's going to play Northwestern.
Oh, you think they'll? Yeah, I guess they could send them to Duke. Or they could
teacher
play
against student.
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought about
current
that.
Duke coach against future Duke coach.
Who else is? I don't even know who else is supposed to be good.
Well, I mean, I think the other team that's out there is Maryland. Like, I definitely think Duke's going to play Northwestern.
But Carolina's got a home game coming up. So I doubt they'd send Maryland to Carolina two times in 3 years. Maybe they would. They send Carolina to Indiana and Michigan State all the time, so maybe they would.
And they wouldn't send Wisconsin here because Wisconsin was all mad they came here last time.
Yeah. And Carolina just played Wisconsin.
I don't know if Michigan's going to be any good. And
what about Purdue? Would that get your blood pumping?
Eric would love it. Eric loves Purdue. I mean, it's time for Carolina to play Michigan. Carolina hasn't played Michigan since the 93 championship game. How is that possible?
That's crazy.
The other thing about Michigan that always blows my mind when I actually look at them is, like, I think of them as being good.
Right.
Because they were good when I was young.
When you were but a wee tyke.
Before that, they weren't good.
No.
Like, they're not in the class that I think of them as being in.
All time you're talking about.
My, my perception of them is wrong. That being said, I want Carolina to play Michigan in the ACC Big Ten. I don't care where the game is. I would go there. I would rather play Michigan there than Michigan State here.
Anything else?
In the world?
No.
Or about that?
On this topic?
No, that's all.
All right. You have been – well, hold on. Let's talk about current Tar Heel athletics.
Okay.
Baseball still going, and that's it, right? Everybody else is done.
Well, there's like the tennis singles and doubles.
Yes, yeah.
But for teams,
right,
they're done.
So – softball made a good run in their regional but lost. But I think probably did about what they – not saying they didn't want to do more, but, you know,
right.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Men's tennis got all the way championship game or championship match and lost in a really tight match against Virginia, who's really good. I think the Cavaliers have won 3 straight national titles or something close to that.
And beat Carolina 4 times this year.
Yeah, I mean, they're just
– they're better.
They're just good. Congratulations to Sam Paul and his team. He is really – that program – I mean, and they've always been good, but he's really elevated them in the last, I'll say, 4 years or so, where they've really become a national contender every year. Women's tennis bowed out in the round of 8 to the eventual national champion Stanford. I'm sure that's frustrating because Carolina's been, you know, top 2 or 3 all year long. They probably felt like they left earlier than they should, but Stanford won the national title. Clearly, they were playing well. Men's lacrosse made that great run in the ACC tournament, bowed out in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Yeah, I mean, they had to win the ACC tournament just to get in, so I know they're disappointed, but women's lacrosse lost also in the round of 8. Again, I know one that probably stung because I think they were a national championship caliber team and lost a little bit early. Men's golf, women's golf, both advanced to the championship rounds. Men's golf's still going, I think. Yeah, I think they haven't played their championship the event yet. So they're still going too. But anyway, I say all of that to say, man, I mean, all these teams advanced to the postseason. Some probably maybe did about right. Some of them maybe went farther than they thought. Some of them didn't go as far as they wanted. But been a terrific year. It's been a terrific year for Carolina Athletics in total as far as competition on the field.
Any one of those teams you just named, almost anywhere else, would have been like the highlight of the athletic department year.
Yeah.
And here it's like, all right, get in line, men's tennis.
Yeah.
Good job playing for the national title. That puts you in, like, the top third of the athletic department.
Yeah. It really has been a great year.
I haven't checked Sears Cup Director's Cup lately?
Learfield?
Yeah, Learfield Director's Cup. Boy, that was like a throwback right there. But I got to think Carolina's doing very well.
Oh, yeah. I assume so. I haven't looked. But they were, I think, either third or fifth in the last one that came out. They'll be top 10, as they should be.
I'm going to guess Stanford will win.
Football side of things, I don't know any big news to pass along. Yeah, I was Jason Tudrin, who's the director of high school relations for Carolina football and does some analysis work on the defensive side. Did a lot of those Tar Heel tour events, so I got a chance to talk to Jason a lot. First of all, just a great dude. He was the head coach at Carrboro High School for 5 years, 6 years. He started in 07. It was actually pretty funny. He, in 07, they went 1-however many games, 10, 1-11. And like the first game of the year, they lost 83-0. He said they didn't score a touchdown until the third game of the season. And he said he had to call two back-to-back timeouts to calm everyone down after they scored their first touchdown. I mean, because they were starting the program. Right. So, I mean, they were starting from nothing. And then by the time he left, they were 15-1, and their only loss was in the state championship game. In 2012. So he really built that program. It was just fun to get a chance to talk to him. A couple things. Recruiting's going really well. And again, we can't talk about individual recruits, but Carolina's been able to pick up a lot of guys who they were very interested in, kind of in this North Carolina, in their footprint, the North Carolina, Virginia, South Carolina area. So I think they're very pleased by the way that's going so far. And I can't wait to see what happens offensively next year for Carolina, because I don't think the coaches know right now. I mean, I think they have some ideas and, you know, and we said this a couple, maybe even the last pod, it is going to be absolutely wide open next year as far as the competition at every single position offensively, period. I mean, I don't think there is one, you know, Bentley Spain's going to be one of the starters on the line. You know, Brandon Fritz probably going to be the starter at tight end. But, I mean, there's just nothing decided right now.
Since we did the last pod, Brandon Harris signed officially.
Yes, officially. So he's the graduate transfer from LSU, the quarterback.
That was nice of LSU to let him go.
Yeah, come on now.
That was good.
We'll talk about that in a second. Brandon Harris, and I think he has an advantage simply because he's played. I mean, and that's not like breaking news, but I think simply because of his experience, the fact that he has been in big games before, I just assume that he's going to have a leg up at the beginning against the other guys competing for this job. But I don't think they've handed him the job by any stretch, but I do think he will have a leg up at the beginning because of that experience. I also think I'll be really interested to see how all these young quarterbacks, but I'm really interested to see how Chaz Surratt moves along. Chaz, there's just something different about him, man. I mean, and that's not to put down any of the other guys competing. Some guys just kind of, like when somebody who's really good on stage gets up on stage and you can tell it. Chaz Surratt just seems to be like that at the quarterback position. Just the way he carries himself, the way he moves around on the field, and I don't know how to define it or describe it any better than that. He just seems a little different to me.
Yeah, you're totally right. That, like, even if it's something you don't know anything about, you can tell when somebody's got that thing.
Right.
And he very well might have that thing. And I think at the quarterback position, that's where you really need it.
Well, and it's just, it's who knows right now. Because you haven't seen it in real action against another team. You just don't know.
When basketball goes longer, football gets here faster.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean,
it's like 3 months away till the first game.
Yeah, and it's about 8 weeks where you have to really start seriously thinking about it. Yeah. Like right now, we can kind of just shoot the breeze about it and kind of discuss on a higher level or like a 10,000-foot kind of level. But, yeah, it's not that far away. All right, so you were in London.
Yeah.
Wait, is that right?
Yeah.
What were you doing in London?
It was our
other than rocking the party.
Yeah, well, I mean, like usual. It was our oldest daughter's 16th birthday. And so what we told the kids was, when you turn 16, we'll take you somewhere that you've always wanted to go but have never been, so that your birthday is not about like a car.
Sure.
But like it'll be like a trip that we'll remember, and it'll just be us. The other kids have to stay at home and go to school and be jealous of you. So Virginia had said she always wanted to go to London and Paris. So we went to London, and then we went to Paris for the day on the fast train. Why do we not have trains like that in America? Why is that?
I don't know.
Those trains are awesome.
Yeah.
We went from London to Paris in 2 hours and went underneath the water for a good portion of that time on a train. And it was way nicer than any plane we've got in America. Why is that? What? How awesome would it be to be able to get on the super fast train from Raleigh to Atlanta rather than having to go to the Hartsfield Airport? That's way better. I'm going to invent that, I think. I'm sure there may be a reason why that doesn't exist.
Nah.
But I would like for
no one's thought of this before you.
Yeah, I think I'm the first one to ever go to London and observe this train because everyone else on it was from Europe. Yeah, I mean, we mostly hit the big things because we weren't there super long time. But, I mean, those people are just different. But our tour guide in Paris, like, he likes basketball.
Oh.
And so he would try to say things like what I would say about soccer.
Right.
He would say about basketball. So he would say, like, NCAA, Tar Heels, yes, let's go. like I would say, like, Manchester United, right? You know what I mean.
Yeah. Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Know what I'm talking
Ronaldo.
About?
Ronaldo.
By the way, I like how all foreign people have the same accent to you. Like, they could be from anywhere, and they have the exact same accent.
Yeah, well, I think that's right. But he was awesome. Like, he was the best guide that we had. His name was Martin. Mm. He took us to all the cool places. Because, you know, like, I want to see the Eiffel Tower, but I also want to see where Martin thinks is the best macaroon in Paris.
Yeah.
Take me to the important stuff, yeah. Martin. So we did no sports stuff at all. The time was weird. And the electrical outlets. Could we all get on the same electrical outlets?
That I don't get. I don't get why we can't all be on the same electrical outlets.
Are they using different power over there?
I don't know. That I don't understand.
And I would...
And if you could convince me that somehow yours is better...
Right, I'd be willing to change.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But let's just all be on the same one.
Yeah.
That's fine.
It's kind of like money.
Right.
Do we have to all have different money? Like, we had different money in America, London, and Paris. They're all on different money.
Yeah.
Why? And then they would give... Especially in Paris.
Like, we're all friends here.
Yeah.
England and France.
Yeah. Man... Our London tour guide, he hated some French.
Oh. I don't know if y'all are friends, but we're friends with you both.
And we go to both those places.
Now,
so
I mean,
we need it to all
maybe
be the
three of us can't hang out together, but right. I'll hang out with each one of you separately.
Yeah, that's right. We won't mix, but we'll still be friends. So I just would like the money to be the same or at least easier to understand, especially in places where I don't speak the language, such as France.
Yeah.
When you give me the change and it's just like a pile of coins with women's heads on it. I don't know what that is, okay? You need to write the number on there so that I understand. Like, I this is no lie. Oh, I cannot remember exactly what it was. In London, I got a coin that had, like, a beaver on it, and it said, like, Mr. Twigwiggle on the coin.
Why don't you still have this coin?
I do. It's at home. Oh, okay. I should have brought it.
Yeah, really?
And so... Luckily, I spoke the language there. And so I asked some people, like, what's this with Mr. Twigwiggle the Beaver? And they're like, oh, that's Beatrix Potter. It's one of her favorite characters. Oh, of course, we'll put that on my coin.
That isn't... You just said about 14 things in the last three sentences that I don't even know what they are. Like, you could have said, like, half pence right then, and I think...
Oh, yeah. Well, and there's something about quid, like quid and pence and pounds, but they're all the same.
I don't know, man.
Just dollars and cents, baby. That's all we need. Or if you're going to tell me the euro's better, that's fine. Let's do that. But let's pick something. I would suggest dollars and cents because that's what I have. But we had to miss Eric Church while we were there, who was in Greensboro, which you went to.
I was there. I will say this. Man, he puts on a heck of a show, dude.
Yeah, he does.
And, I mean, he went 4.5 hours. He had a 20-minute intermission, and that was it.
Yeah.
I couldn't handle it in the seats. I don't know how he handles it on the stage. But
remember, that's what I said. It's hard to watch.
Like, how did Buckshot make it through?
Did you see Buckshot?
I don't think so.
Well, remember, Buckshot left early.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you had seen him, you would know, because he would have introduced himself and asked you if he could cuss.
That's right.
Was John Lyon there?
John Lyon was there. Came up and said hello, actually. And then we actually saw him on the video board during one of the songs.
During the Jack Daniel's song?
Yeah.
Yeah. He tends to make an appearance during that song.
Yeah. Anyway, terrific show. Eric Church is awesome. I mean, even if you don't know his music, I don't know a ton of it. I think you can enjoy his concert just because he is an extraordinary, like we were talking about Chad Surratt. I mean,
yeah.
Eric Church just has it when he's out on stage. You know what I mean?
He's the Chad Surratt of artists,
yeah,
really.
Really. So, I mean, he has that factor where it's like he gets on stage, man, and there's no doubt who's running the show at that point.
It is amazing how he connects with people.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, they totally, I don't know what it is, but they know every word, and they believe he is their friend.
Yeah, it was good. So I went to Cookout with Roy Williams.
And the next day you retired.
Yeah, I mean, really, it was, I mean, the national title was awesome.
Yeah, sure.
And you could say that the basketball banquet was like the bow on the season that kind of tied it all together. I really felt like this moment with Roy Williams in the Cookout drive-thru line was the bow on the season.
That's the only way the season could have ended.
Sure. Yeah. No, I kind of agree with you.
Everything from October 1st built to that moment.
To this one moment. So I'm in the back seat. Right. John Montgomery, executive director of the Rams Club, is driving. Hmm. Coach Williams is in the passenger seat.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Coach Williams normally likes to drive. Yeah. So we go through the funky side of the drive-thru.
Oh, that was gutsy.
Yeah. So a couple things. One, I order Oreo like I do.
Okay.
John Montgomery went with fresh banana. Hmm. Do you care to at least take a guess at what Coach Williams ordered?
I think he probably went something a little more plain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, getting warm.
Like a straight vanilla?
He went strawberry. Just straight strawberry shake. So we go up, and so, of course, we're on the funky side.
Right.
So Coach Williams is the one who is dealing with the person at the window.
Right.
And I could tell immediately that this girl, it was a female, that she knew she had seen Roy Williams before.
Right.
But she couldn't quite realize where she had seen him before. So she's you know, talking and doing her thing. It was very pleasant. It was great. And closes the window. And then you start seeing some other, like, people from inside, like, coming. They're looking in the, like, they haven't opened the window, but they're, like, looking out the window at our car. And so, you know, she comes back and gets changed and then goes back and gets the milkshakes. And so finally she opens the window for the final time and she goes, "Can I ask you a question?" And Coach Williams said, "Sure." She goes, "Are you Roy Smith?" And he goes, and he had already queued up. They're like, "Yes, I am."
Sure.
But so then he was like, "Well, I'm," and then he goes, "Yes, wait, no."
In fact, I, oh, no, that's not me
and
at
he
all.
Was like, he's like, "Well, my name's Roy Williams." And she was like, "Oh, that's what I meant, Roy Williams, Roy Williams." And so then, like, all the other dudes are like coming over like, "Hey, coach, yeah, all right." So it was just really funny, dude. It was really funny. I felt like Kennedy Meeks blocking the shot with the, and then Joel Berry to Justin Jackson for the dunk. And then the girl asking Coach Williams if his name was Roy Smith. Really, these were the two moments that I knew that everything was right in the world.
Do you think she thought he was former football player Roy Smith?
I'm guessing not. My guess is it was a Dean Smith, Roy Williams collaboration.
Seems like a good guess.
Yes.
What were there any like trays ordered or anything like that? Any sides?
No, we just went straight shakes.
It had been that kind of day?
Yeah. It was, well, we had been together all day. So this particular day, we drove to Lumberton for lunch. And there were 220 people at this lunch in Lumberton.
Lumberton's a big time Tar Heel area.
It really is. It's a big area. And then went from there to Greensboro and made a pit stop at a friend of the program's house and kind of hung out for a little bit and then went to the dinner. But it was really funny, dude. It was really funny. So we're going to Lumberton. John Montgomery is driving the car. So Coach Williams is telling this incredible story. It was a pretty engrossing story. It was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like he said, what? Oh, my God. And so John Montgomery's driving. And if you're not from North Carolina or are unfamiliar with this area, this isn't going to make a ton of sense to you. But the main interstate, one of the main interstates in North Carolina is Interstate 40. It goes from the very eastern part of the state all the way. It goes all the way to California. But so it goes through.
Murphy to Mantia.
Right. It runs through the state of North Carolina horizontally. So we are on Interstate 40. Because to get to Lumberton, essentially, you just go 40, 95, and then you're there. So we get to that part where 440, which is part like a loop. Whatever. I don't know. It's another interstate, but not like a big interstate. So it goes off towards like Rocky Mount, you know, and 40 goes on towards Wilmington.
It's like Wake Forest if Carolina and Duke are 40 and 95.
Sure.
That's what 440 is. It's like Wake Forest.
Yeah. So we get to this split, and John Montgomery goes off on 440. Mm. And I was like, and Coach Williams telling this story, and so like we're just listening, and it's because it's a crazy story. And so I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, I've never gone to Lumberton this way. Not that I've been to Lumberton a ton, but I am only aware of one way to Lumberton that really makes sense. And that's 40 to 95. And so we're going. And then all of a sudden we start seeing signs for like Rocky Mount. And we're like 20 minutes or so on to 440. And Monty goes, wait a second. Where am I? Am I on 440? And I was like, yeah, you took 440 back there. I thought you knew some kind of secret way. He's like, no, why didn't somebody tell me? And so we have to turn around and go 20 minutes back on 440 to get on 40 to then go get on 95 to go get onto Lumberton. Hmm. So the event starts where the program is supposed to start at like 12:15. So the little GPS, when he makes the turnaround, all of a sudden it says like 12 because it hadn't, he had not put it in the GPS originally because it's hard to mess up 40 to 95.
But not impossible.
Right, not impossible. So when he turns around, he fires up the GPS just to see if there's some kind of easier way other than just turn all the way back around. And it said like 12:30 or something that we were going to get there. So to John Montgomery's credit, Coach Williams like fell asleep, took a little nap. And during this time period, we made up some significant time. I think we arrived at like 12:05 in Lumberton.
Wow.
Yeah, it was impressive. So we all was well that ended well. We made it. There was also some lady, and I apologize for not knowing her name. She was at the Lumberton event and the Wilmington event.
Wow.
She sat in the front table, and it was almost like a revival during the Lumberton event. Like, anytime we would say something, she'd be like, yes! Oh, Lord! Coach Wayne said something about Theo Pinsky. She'd be like, okay, Theo! To the point that Coach Williams finally said, could you please maybe keep it down a little so that other people can hear better what we're... I know. I mean, it was like stuff like that. Just like two sentence bursts. All right. And so we get to Wilmington and I see her again. And I was like, okay. I mean, I'm up on the microphone. I'm like, we can't have you being as loud tonight as it was.
she better?
Tar Heel.
Was she more reserved?
Yes, she was reserved until the end, and then it was just like the wheels came off. She had to get it all out then, man.
Well, you had made her hold it in the entire evening.
I know. CB McGrath was at the event in Wilmington. Joe Wolf, now assistant coach with CB, was there. I tell you, man, we had tremendous crowds everywhere we went. It was tremendous crowds.
The most beneficial thing for the Tar Heel Tour is a national title.
Oh, people are so fired up, dude.
Because then everybody's happy.
I'm trying to think of just some stories that Coach Williams told that I can tell. Oh, I tell you one thing that I thought was interesting. I guess when he was at Kansas, he was recruiting Shane Battier, who ended up going to Duke, of course, as you may or may not know. And one time, Coach Williams was in Yankee Stadium for something. At a game. And so I guess the way Shane Battier handled recruiting was very, like, formal. And, like, he had a very set plan, like, where each coach could call him. And
I could see that.
And so, like, the time period that Coach Williams was supposed to call him, he was at the game. And so he called him from, like, the bullpen phone or something. It was just crazy.
Shane, this is Coach Williams. Yeah. I'd like you to come to Kansas and also get up the lefty.
All right, one more I think I can tell. I know I can tell this one. So Coach Williams got some phone call from an area code. He didn't know the number right off the bat. And I can't remember which one it was. I think it was the area code was 204, I think. And so he goes, they're 204 areas. I don't even know where that is. And he goes, Jones, do you know where that is? I said, no, but I'll look it up, Coach. But I accidentally typed in the 240, and these may be reversed. But I accidentally typed in 240 instead of 204, and it was like Winnipeg. It was like somewhere in like Saskatchewan or something. And I was like, Coach, this says it's in Saskatchewan, Canada. And he was like, I really don't know who that is. And then I figured out my mistake. So we got that covered.
Do you answer it when you get a call from a number you don't know?
No.
Yeah, I don't either. Does anybody?
I barely answer my phone ever anymore.
Yeah.
Like, if it's my wife.
Right.
Or if it's you.
Yeah, well.
Or because you may have important pod information.
Right, yeah.
Or if it's my parents. But past that, like, if I don't know the number, no way I'm answering the call. No way.
Yeah. Does anybody?
No. What's the upside in answering the call if you don't know the number?
But you know who does, who answers it every time? Is my parents.
But no, I would never answer it. Ever. Also, Coach Williams told some crazy story about Justin Bieber and how he was at a restaurant with Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
And Justin Bieber came up to talk about how much of a fan he was of the Tar Heels and of Coach Williams, but Coach Williams didn't know it was Justin Bieber because obviously he doesn't know Justin Bieber.
Well, and this was Carolina's last trip to the Bahamas when this happened, I think.
Right, yeah.
Or like that same year, and Coach Williams had gone to the Bahamas a
for
separate time
else,
with Wanda.
For something else, yes, yeah.
Because Mrs. Williams was there.
Yeah, I think it was for something else, but it was in this time period, yes.
And she was the one who thought it was so funny that he didn't know. Like, she knew.
Yeah.
And immediately, like, as soon as Justin Bieber walked away, and this is not current Bieber, but like 3 years ago Bieber, so not the mature young man that he is today. And the way I heard it was, she was like, Roy, do you not know who that was? And he was like, no. And she was like, that was Justin Bieber. And of course, Coach Williams was like, what? And so then she had to try to explain to him who Justin Bieber was.
Right.
Which I can only imagine must have been epic.
This came up because he was talking about Ryan Switzer, and I guess he did something very similar to Ryan Switzer at the Rammies the first year. When Ryan Switzer came up to tell Coach Williams that how much of a fan he was of him. And, I mean, at this point, Ryan Switzer had been playing for Carolina for a season. And Coach Williams didn't, like, realize who it was. It was just really funny. The way he told it was really funny.
That's nice, son.
Right. So he ended up, he got to that because then he said he was talking to either Ryan or Ryan's now fiance and was like, well, tell Ryan he's in good company because I've made this mistake before. And then he told the Justin Bieber story. So it was pretty funny. But I will say this, and I enjoy doing the Tar Heel Tour. I do, because we see a ton of Carolina fans and the energy, especially in a year like this. I mean, come on. It's easy to do those. But getting to ride in the car all day and just have Coach Williams tell stories is tremendous. And again, I wish I could repeat all of them, but I don't know like what I have clearance to repeat and what I don't, so I'm not going to.
And it you can't sit there and be like, hey, Coach, do you mind if I tell this again?
Right.
Like, the default assumption is I cannot ever repeat any of this.
Right.
And only if he, like, looks you straight in the eye and goes, and this is fine for public knowledge.
Right.
Do you really feel 100% good about repeating it?
I feel okay about the Justin Bieber story.
Yeah.
I feel okay about the Roy Smith story. That was funny.
That really, yeah. That.
What else? What else you got? So, did you ever watch the show Lost?
No.
So, this show came on, it started like 13, I think it started in 2004, maybe 2003, right in that time period. So, it kept coming up on my Netflix as like something you may enjoy. Mm-hmm. So, I've started watching it. And it's really good. But here's the problem. I know everybody who watched it always was like, oh, God, it gets like, you're going to be so disappointed by the end.
Right.
But it's so good right now. Like, I'm three or four episodes into season two. Mm. And so it's starting to get weird, though. And, like, it's kind of hard to follow. But it's, so I can't decide. Like, I'm reaching a key point of do I keep going? Because if I keep going, I mean, there's six seasons of this.
Ooh.
So am I all in?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to stop halfway through because there's so many crazy things going on. Like, I don't want to leave it all open-ended.
Right. Weren't they on, like, a boat that wrecked or something?
It was a plane, Adam.
Oh, sorry. I've been on a lot of forms of transportation lately.
But it was, so, I don't know. If you've seen Lost or if you watched Lost, let me know if I should keep going. Because I feel like I want to. But I also know that a lot of people were disappointed by the ending.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, and six seasons is a lot.
It's a big commitment. It's a big commitment.
Speaking of important television, are you watching The Bachelorette this summer?
Yes.
Have you watched the first one already?
Yes.
So have I.
The Waboom guy's got to go. But it's so over the top. And they so clearly told her to keep him.
Yeah, there is a negative 100% chance she would have ever kept him if they hadn't said, here's one you
keep
gotta
this
keep.
Guy.
Yeah.
How many of the guys do you think they tell her to keep?
Five.
I bet that. I was going to say five.
Because I think Waboom and the guy who hates Waboom, because they need them to fight.
Yeah.
Plus, that guy's kind of weird.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's a Diggy and an Iggy.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that.
No, I wasn't either. You know what? I like The Bachelorette better more than I like The Bachelor. I think I've come to that conclusion.
What?
I'm starting to think that.
But you know the guys are just going to all be friends.
Right. It's funnier, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how about the guy who cried after one night? Which, again, they were interviewing him in broad daylight.
It's got to be the fatigue. It can't be because he was legitimately this upset. It had to be, yeah, I've been up all night. I probably had a couple drinks like 7 hours ago.
Yeah.
I'm totally wiped. Like, it's just got to be the emotions. It's got to be just the pure fatigue of the situation.
Well, like, Marine guy handled it perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he was like, well, I liked her, but she doesn't like me. She does like the Waboom guy, so therefore, I dodged a bullet, and I'm going to move on and find somebody great. That was the exact right response.
We got to talk about one actual thing.
That's real love, James.
So let's just say, in a hypothetical situation,
okay,
that there was a young man who had graduated from a university.
Oh, you're not like a young man like Iggy or Diggy.
No.
But, okay.
And who wanted to take advantage of the graduate transfer rule.
Sure.
Let's just assume that this situation exists.
Right. It probably does.
And even despite graduating, this young man's former institution has placed restrictions on where he can go. It makes no sense in today's culture and, I mean, just in practical sense to have this happen anymore, especially with the climate in the NCAA. Why would you do that? As this institution, why would you do this to yourself? You're just making yourself look bad. Now, I mean, and there are examples of, let's say this young man wanted to go somewhere in the same conference, or at least there was it was one of his really strong choices.
He was interested and considered it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not unprecedented. TJ Thorpe did it at Carolina.
Within the division.
Yeah. To what I would consider if you asked me, Carolina's three main rivals, Virginia would be one of those in football.
Especially in football.
Yeah, in football. Yeah, I'm talking about in football. And Carolina let him go. Now, I'm not going to say that Carolina was super excited about it, and they weren't super happy that he went there. But you know what? Okay. It's just, don't assume that your importance is more important than this individual's of where he wants to go. To put restrictions, especially as a graduate transfer, what more is there in this hypothetical situation for this gentleman to do for you? He's graduated already. What control should this institution have? None.
That's the thing in the hypothetical situation that you created that I didn't understand, because you said that this hypothetical person had graduated already.
Yeah.
Well, to me, that's different.
I mean, in a regular transfer situation, I still don't think you should restrict somebody where they go. But you could make an argument.
Right.
Like if Joe Barry as a sophomore wanted to transfer to Duke, I could see you going, well, we're going to have to.
Right.
I could understand in some extreme cases, and that would be obviously an extraordinarily extreme case. In the hypothetical, let's assume this is not an extreme case, but it's not even just a regular transfer. It's a graduate. There are so many things in this hypothetical situation that I don't get that I think is making the institution that this hypothetical gentleman wants to exit, it just makes them look bad.
Well, and this is just kind of a fundamental thing I don't understand. We hear all the time that scholarships are one-year agreements that are renewable. Well, if that's the case, how can any school tell anybody where they're going to go next year?
I don't know.
That's a whole different – that it's got to be renewed. So if the institution has the right to renew it each year, why doesn't the player have the right to say, I don't want to renew? I don't – like – obviously, there's a reason why that's the case. But why is that the case? That doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, I can understand where you wouldn't want just mass
right
hysteria every offseason.
You can't just have free agency. I
right
get that.
But this doesn't make sense to me.
And to the school's defense or whatever, like, you plan your roster based on who's on it, and you've made a commitment to them just like they made a commitment to you. But in this hypothetical situation, the guy has graduated according to the scenario you devised.
Right.
And I just think once you graduate, like, what are you going to get by keeping him there?
I don't know.
And I think the other element that not a lot of people have talked about is, like, if I'm the parent of a kid thinking about going there.
Oh, yeah.
That would raise big questions in my mind.
I agree with that.
Because
100%.
Who's to say my kid isn't going to graduate in 3 years and then want to go somewhere else? What if this happens to him?
Yeah.
I would be very cautious about doing that.
Yep. So if this hypothetical situation ever occurs, I guess we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No.
We really are lining up some guests. I know it's just been Adam and me the last couple of times. And by we, I mean Adam's been working hard and getting some guests. And I think we're going to have some good ones. Well, I know we're going to have some good ones because we've gotten some commitments. We've got to figure out the time to do it and make it happen.
Is there anything on Twitter? I feel like we've been ignoring the tweets. Somebody went the other day and got some hush puppies.
Yep, Jeff James sent us a tweet, said he went outside the box, got hush puppies as a side.
That needs to be inside your box.
I do have a tweet I need to mention. So many moons ago, you may remember we had a podcast in which one of the things we talked about was the lime Skittles disappearing from the traditional bag of Skittles. So it used to be orange, lemon, lime, red, and grape. I guess the red is cherry officially.
The official flavor is not red.
Right. So, but now, the green one is sour apple, or green apple, whatever. And it's not nearly as good. I'm sure somebody thinks it's as good. I don't, and I know there are several others out there.
At least three.
Yes. So this was, I mean, this was mid-December. So we're talking, what, 5 months ago? Well, just a couple days ago, I received a tweet from the official Skittles account. And they said, "Hi, Jones. We have a sweet, all in capitals, surprise for you. Can you please DM us your full name and shipping address?" So I've done it. So I will let you know when and if this Skittles sweet surprise arrives. Could it be? Could it be like a truckload of lime Skittles? I don't know.
That'd be so awesome.
I don't know, Adam. It could be anything.
But this has got me a little hyped up now because I'm trying to think what other things we've talked about that people might send us for free.
Oh, yeah. We're fine with free things. That's fine.
I mean, like, what if El Paso sends us a bronze spittoon? It's not out of the realm of possibility. We've talked to the mayor.
That's right.
Slash car dealer.
That feels like a long time ago.
It really does. That was this season.
Any exciting information coming up or things that we need to keep our eye open for, Adam, on the horizon?
No. ACC baseball tournament this weekend in Louisville, and then they'll announce the NCAA field on Memorial Day, I guess, because that's when it always is.
Yeah. Tar Heels are going to, no matter what they do in the ACC tournament, they are going to host a regional, and more than likely, they are going to be a national seed, which would mean they would host a super regional as well. This is a really, I've watched them a fair amount here recently. It's a fun team, man. I mean, they're just, they've got a nice mix of some young guys and some veteran players. They have, and we've talked about this some, they've got a legit number one starter in Bukauskas, got a terrific couple of arms in the pen. It's a good team. But I tell you, and you and I both went through this, that NCAA tournament for baseball to me is the hardest one to win. So many things have to go right. You have to win so many games to do it. It's hard. But I think they're a team that can do it.
And I think the new park in Omaha has changed it a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same game.
Right.
And so, but if the Tar Heels make it to Omaha, that opens up the possibility for us to talk about all kinds of hilarious things that happened in Omaha over the past decade. So that should happen.
I can close my eyes and drive down Rose Blumpkin Drive right now, Adam.
Yeah. I can almost taste the whiskey filet.
All right. For now, we're going to say goodbye. We'll be back sometime soon. We're going to talk to some guests. Adam and I will keep talking about what's going on. Thanks for being with us. Another edition of The Carolina Insider.
The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.